We've spent the last several weeks reading Consoling the Heart of Jesus. It is a do-it-yourself retreat written by Father Michael Gately, and it's inspired by the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. We've actually completed the retreat. Hooray!
Yay!
We have Julie Musselman with us today. Yes. And now there's a nice little conclusion section, Julie, and I'm excited about this because it kind of rehashes everything we've just done, and it's nice to, now that we're at the end, to kind of review the beginning
Mary,
again.
Mary, we've covered so much ground, and I swear, every chapter we read, I'm like, oh, that's my favorite. So I, too, am very happy to get to this conclusion because Father Gately summarizes everything we've done. So it's a great way to remember, revisit, you know, put it in a little bit of information that you can do daily. And let's get started.
All right. We're going to begin on page 169. Congratulations. We've covered all the main obstacles to living our principle and foundation of consoling the heart of Jesus. Yet we're still not finished. While now we may have everything we need to become great saints, this doesn't mean we already are. Before it can happen, each of us needs to ask ourselves a crucial question. Will we live what we've learned and experienced during this retreat? To those who might be thinking, well, I'd like to think so, but I'm afraid I'll forget. Father Gately says, don't worry, because this conclusion is designed to help us keep the graces of the retreat in our hearts so that they might transform us into great saints. That is, into people who give tremendous consolation to the heart of Jesus. Do you want to be this kind of saint? If so, then Father Gately invites you to make the following three promises to yourself. Strive with God's grace to keep them, and you will be. Much of what follows repeats what we've already covered during the retreat. This is intentional. According to St. Ignatius, repetition is crucially important for storing up and living out the graces of a retreat. The first commitment says, I will live my principle and foundation of consoling Jesus with Mary by giving him my trust and acts of mercy.
Beginning of our principle and foundation. Let's review. What's our principle and foundation? It begins, the first part, with being sensitive to the suffering of the heart of Jesus. In other words, it begins by hearing his sorrowful words, behold this heart which loves so much and yet is loved so little. Or, more simply put, it begins by hearing his cry from the cross, I thirst. However you want to remember the Lord's lament is fine. The important thing is that you remember it. The members of the Missionaries of Charity, the congregation founded by Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, have a good way of remembering the first part of their principle and foundation, which happens to be the same as ours. First, they get a crucifix that clearly depicts Jesus' sorrow. Next, they put it up someplace where they'll see it every day in the chapel of their houses. Finally, they write the words, I thirst, right below one of the arms of the cross. You can actually see a photo of this on the inside front cover of the Consoling the Heart of Jesus book. This combination of word and symbol reminds them to always keep the sorrow of Jesus before their eyes, for they've consecrated their lives for the purpose of consoling him, of quenching his thirst for love. Father Gately suggests we follow the example of the Missionaries of Charity. Specifically, he suggests each of us get a crucifix or a picture of one and write the words, I thirst, or behold this heart, which is loved so much and is loved so little, below one of its arms, and then put it someplace where we'll see it frequently. Or, if you can think of a better way to remember the sorrowful cry of Jesus addressed personally to you, inviting you to console him, then go with that. For instance, instead of a crucifix, maybe you have an image of Jesus crowned with thorns that particularly speaks to you. This will work just as well. Simply add the words, I thirst, or behold this heart, and put it someplace where you'll see it often.
Living the foundation of trust. Seeing the sorrow of Jesus' heart is just the beginning of living our principle and foundation. For as we know, after seeing the sorrow of his heart, we then ought to respond with mercy. In other words, we ought to console him. After having finished reading the fifth obstacle, we now know that there are at least two ways we can console the heart of Jesus. The first and foundational of these ways is through the basic spiritual attitude of trust. Now let's review. What's trust? Thanks to Father Seraphim, we learned earlier that trust is praise and thanksgiving, to praise and thank God for all things. It's to praise and thank him for those things that make praise and thanks easy to do. For instance, family, friends, food, shelter, and so on. It's also to strive to praise and thank Him for those things that often make praise and thanks difficult, namely the crosses in our lives. This attitude of trust is primarily all Jesus wants from us little souls. Thus, may we always have the trustful attitude of the child who knows that God the Father lovingly watches over him always because he's so little. Let us strive to accept everything from his loving hands with trust, with praise, and thanksgiving. When we discover that sometimes we don't trust the Lord, we need not get discouraged. Rather, we simply need to turn back to him and give him our worries, surrendering whatever situation or difficulty might be oppressing us. A great prayer for this besides, Jesus, I trust in you, is, O Jesus, I surrender this to you. You take care of it. By praying like this, we console Jesus and receive his grace. On this topic, Jesus himself told St. Faustina, and this is his words from her diary, You will give me pleasure if you hand over to me all your troubles and griefs. I shall heap upon you the treasures of my grace.
There's nothing to fear. Even if we ourselves cause a bad situation because of our sins, we can still make another marvelous prayer. Jesus, I trust in your mercy so much that I believe that you can bring an even greater good out of the evil I've done. Of course, when and how Jesus will bring this greater good is up to him, but he can, and he will do it if we ask him with trust. There is no problem his mercy can't fix. Certainly, we still need to strive to do what we can, but we should do so peacefully, trusting that Jesus is helping us with his amazing mercy. Because the spiritual attitude of trust is so important, during the course of this retreat, Father Gately's presented several meditations or images to help us live it better. We might want to remember at least two of them. The first comes from the meditation we made at the foot of the cross when we went to Jesus with Mary, past the hateful crowd. See pages 100 to 103 in the book. That meditation helps teach us that we need not fear going to Jesus because of our sins. In fact, it helps teach us, as did Jesus' words to our friend Joe, that the Lord simply wants us to go to him as we are. All I want for you is to be my friend. All I want is for you not to be afraid of me and to come to me. That's all.
Another good way to remember the attitude of going to Jesus as we are with complete trust is the other meditation we made at the foot of the cross, the one with the three words of Mary, Ecce, Fiat, and Magnificat. These three words, as three spiritual moments, are a complete summary of the whole spiritual attitude of trust. Moreover, we should be consoled to know that each of these three moments consoles Jesus. Thus, we need not worry when we experience times when praise and thanks just don't seem to come. Sometimes our trust is simply expressed by going to Jesus as we are with all of our problems and brokenness, Ecce, and receiving his mercy, Fiat. Make no mistake about it, this kind of trust truly consoles Jesus. Still, we should always be open to being moved to praise and thanksgiving, the Magnificat. Father Gately suggests we memorize the three words of Mary and pray them with her often.
Living this foundation through acts of mercy. While reading the fifth obstacle, we learn that there's another way to console Jesus besides giving him our trust. It involves reaching out to our neighbor through acts of mercy. Recall that Jesus taught St. Faustina three degrees of performing an act of mercy: deed, word, and prayer. Among the infinite number of deeds of mercy, let's especially do that deed of mercy that Father Gately calls the merciful outlook. As we learned, the merciful outlook is to delight in each person we meet, seeing each one as the unique face of Christ he presently is and is called to be. Then, regarding words of mercy, we can ask the merciful question. And regarding prayers of mercy, we can pray the chaplet of divine mercy and the modified breathing prayer.
Consoler principles and foundation. Now that we've reviewed our principle and foundation, Father Gately would like to make the following recommendation as a way of concluding the retreat. He suggests that we write on a piece of paper our principle and foundation. He offers what follows as a model. You can either copy it down exactly as it is or use it in your own words under the title, My Principle and Foundation. Here's about what it should look like.
I state your name. On this date, write in the date, choose as my principle and foundation to console the heart of Jesus. Dear Jesus, relying on your grace and the prayers of Mary and of all the angels and saints, I will strive to keep before my eyes the deep sorrow of your heart and respond with Mary by consoling you in the following two ways. First, I will give you my trust. Jesus, I trust in you. I will try not to be afraid of going to you as I am, Ecce, even when my sins and weaknesses weigh heavily upon me. With an open heart, I choose to accept your mercy, fiat, even all that mercy other souls reject. Finally, I will do my best to praise and thank you in all things, Magnificat, even when you give me the privilege of sharing in your cross. Second, I will strive to show mercy to my neighbor through my deeds, words, and prayers, remembering that by consoling others, I am also consoling you. Heavenly Father, for the sake of your sorrowful passion, I beg you, send forth your Holy Spirit to help me fulfill this choice.
After writing out your principle and foundation, you might want to put it in a place where you'll easily find it and then take it out and review it from time to time. Father Gately proposes prayerfully reviewing it at least once a month, for instance, on your birthday. For example, if your birthday is on September 8th, he recommends that you prayerfully review your mission statement on the 8th day of each month. This is a good way of keeping clear and gripping what the first secretary of Jesuits called the clarity that grips us and leads us on. We're going to conclude our reading there. We're on page 173. We'll pick up tomorrow where it says, I will keep a simple schedule of daily prayer. We're on the Retreat Companion, page number 87. The conclusion reads, by now we've covered all the main obstacles to living our principle and foundation of consoling the heart of Jesus. Yet we're still not finished. While we may have everything we need to become great saints, this doesn't mean we already are. Before it can happen, each of us has to bring what we've learned into our daily lives. Not to worry. This conclusion is designed to help us keep the graces of the retreat in our hearts so they might transform us into great saints. That is, into people who give tremendous consolation to the heart of Jesus. The questions begin with the first foundation. I will live my principle and foundation of consoling Jesus with Mary by giving him my trust and acts of mercy. And the first question is, what will you do to remind yourself of your principle and foundation? Father Gately says in his office he has a beautiful crucifix with the words, I thirst, under one of the arms of the cross, just like the image on the inside front cover of Consoling the Heart of Jesus. And then in his room, he has an image of Jesus crowned with thorns and his sacred heart glowing in his chest. And he's written the words, Behold this heart, right below it. What will you do to remind yourself of your principle and foundation? And remember, it doesn't have to be a big image. Don't feel guilty if you choose to be discreet about it. In fact, some work environments don't allow religious images. So you can always just have an image of a heart in your office, and nobody will know what it means except for you.
I love that little last idea. I mean, hearts are everywhere, you know, just a design heart or a pink and red heart, Valentine's Day style heart. In fact, a good friend of mine, every June when Sacred Heart Feast comes along, she looks for hearts. And it's amazing. Mm. She'll point them out. Like someone will have it on their shirt or on a sticker or a decal. It's so funny how prevalent they are. So that's a really great idea for someone who can't have something at their desk or their office, you know, that's specifically religious. But Mary, in our homes, we can all have something religious, and I like the idea of the crucifix. I did that myself. I just typed up the words, I thirst, in a really big font on it, on the computer and printed it out so it was nice and straight and square and put that under one of the arms, and I have the image of Divine Mercy that says, Jesus, I trust in you, at the bottom of it, and recently we had an image that's 10 by 18. It's kind of, it's a good size, but not enormous. And recently when I was undergoing some surgery and I was laid up for a while, I was really having a very, very, very hard time. And my husband bought a larger image of it, probably 2 feet by 3 feet, or maybe bigger. And so I call him Big Jesus. And now Big Jesus is in my bedroom. And it's the same image, but I love having it in multiple places because trust is my biggest issue. I know God is calling me to deeper trust, and I'm seeking that, but I don't feel like I'm there. So I love multiple images and multiple ways of expressing this consoler's principle that we want to live out.
Well, it's funny, as he was talking about the image, and he says, or maybe you have a favorite picture of Jesus's face with the crown of thorns on it. I used to have that on my refrigerator, my new refrigerator, though, can't stick magnets on it because they don't stick. But I used to have that on my refrigerator. And just as he was talking about, maybe you have a different image, that thought came into my head. And then I read it in the book. I went, yeah, I need to dig that one out. I think it's in the pile of stuff that used to be on the refrigerator and put that one up.
Yeah.
But my home is definitely one when you walk in, you know you're in a Catholic home.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mary everywhere.
And sometimes that can be a detriment because you're so used to seeing it.
Yes.
Like in some ways, you almost have to move the furniture around or the artwork
so
that you see it in a different place in order to jog your memory about the purpose of it. So that might be something for some people to try.
Kind of like the little elf that runs all over before Christmas, right?
Yes.
We should have Mary running all over our house.
I love that idea.
Jesus.
Forget the elf on the shelf. Let's go with Mary and Jesus.
Yeah. We actually, go back to Christmas for a minute. We actually do that after Christmas Day up until the Epiphany. We pull the three kings out then, and we start them far away from the nativity scene, and they move closer to the nativity then during those 12 days of Christmas.
I love that.
Yeah, we have the traveling wise men in our house. Let's move on to question number two on page 88. It's called Living the Foundation, and we're going to talk about trust. What best summarizes trust for you and will help you live it out? And his little caption under the question today reads, Father Gately says he had just reread the section, Living the Foundation, Trust, and it's not a bad summary of the basic attitude of trust we're shooting for. Because this attitude is so central to our living out the spirituality, Father Gately is going to ask us to do something that he hasn't asked us to do yet. And that's prayerfully reread the entire section from pages 170 to 172. Don't worry, it's less than two full pages long. After you're done reading it, write down any thoughts you may have about how you can put it into practice in your daily life. In other words, ask yourself, what struck you most as a way of helping you remember and live out the basic spiritual attitude of trusting Jesus for the sake of consoling him?
So those are the pages that we just read. So if you're listening to this via podcast, hit the rewind and listen to it again that way. Or if you have the book in front of you, there is something very different about looking at the words and reading them. So if you can do that, I would really say that that would be the way to go on that, Mary. But one of the sentences that really, really jumped out at me on page 171, I circled it, and I think I slowed down when I was reading it and just enunciated it very much, was, there's no problem his mercy can't fix. And I know every single person listening has a problem that we think is unfixable or that is just so big that we don't know how we could get out from under it, or a sin in the past, or a relationship that's broken, or a financial terrible thing that's happened to us. There is no problem his mercy can't fix. I just think that is so tremendous. And for me, that was what really jumped out. And back to my saying in the previous question that trust is a real issue for me, I think by praising God and thanking him in each and every situation throughout the day, whether it's, oh joy, I just got flowers, or oh no, I'm stuck in traffic, or worse, I think that helps us quite a bit to praise and thank him and then just focus on his mercy.
It's kind of ironic. I picked a very good sister line out of those same pages. And I normally don't mark as we're reading, but I just felt compelled today to underline this particular line in the book. It's on page 171, and it says, Jesus, I trust in your mercy so much that I believe you can bring an even greater good out of the evil I've done.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. And it's actually a great compliment to the one that you just said, because how many times have we done or said things that have hurt another person? And a lot of times it's hard to take those hurts away.
It is. And sometimes the hurts don't go away. I mean, sometimes those hurts are for our humility, for us to grow and know how we can't do things in our own strength. 1 Corinthians 12:9, I will all the more boast in my weakness that the power of God may be shown through me. That's one of my life verses as well. And Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, kind of speaks to what you're saying there, Mary, about, you know, greater goods can come from the things that we think are ruined and messed up and unfixable. Jesus the fixer. I like thinking of that. The mercy. Yes. And, you know, a friend of mine, we talk throughout the day, a good girlfriend of mine, and, you know, just what's going on, what are the kids doing, what are you doing at work, how's it going, and inevitably, either one of us will be talking and saying something, sharing, and we'll go, mercy! And I love just shouting out that word, because it really is the only appropriate expletive, if you will, to sometimes the things that are going on in the day. Mercy.
Well, I tell you what, when I read question number 3, I wanted to shout out mercy. Since it's a pop quiz.
Mercy.
Yeah, mercy. Question number 3 on page 88. He says it's a pop quiz. What's the merciful outlook? Describe it in your own words and try to do so without looking back in the book.
Ooh.
I like it. I'm ready. I'm ready for the pop quiz.
You go.
Mercy. Okay, go. For me, it really stuck out in my mind when we were reading this the other day, the merciful outlook of trying to see another person as God sees them. So the people that we like and are fun, that's kind of easy to see good things about them. Mm-hmm. But the people that are difficult or quiet or the people that we just can't get to know, to have the merciful outlook of seeing them as God sees them, and then getting to know them more, trying to go at some deeper level with them by the merciful question. And I love the part in the book where Father Gately gives different ideas of how he speaks with different people. And that's one thing about this book, Mary. It's so practical. You know, to some people, you kind of need to joke around a little bit to get to know them. For others, you need to ask the question and then be ready to listen because they're going to talk a lot. And whatever that is for that person, like learning to ask the question of mercy to them and then really listen with your heart.
Yes. And if anybody wants to go back and re-listen to the podcast, these were the ones that we had Father Kevin with us to be able to find the dates, because you'll see Father Kevin's website on the podcast. Father Kevin really did a great job at opening up that part of the retreat. Now, if you've been going through this retreat with us, listening to these podcasts and thinking, I want to make sure I really like this product before I purchase it, now's the time. Visit 33daystomorningglory.com. That's the numbers 33daystomorningglory.com. There is so much left in these retreat materials that we're not going to be covering during the podcast. We're going to go now on to question number 4 on page 88. It says the Consoler Principle and Foundation is what we're going to talk about. And Father Gately wants to know, where will you keep your Consoler Principle and Foundation? It may seem like a little thing, but if you're anything like Father Gately, you'll be surprised how easily you'll misplace your handwritten copy of the Consoler Principle and Foundation. Of course, you can always refer back to it in the book, but it's nice to have your signed copy for the monthly review or renewal. So where will you keep it? And as a bonus question, how will you remind yourself to do it on your monthly birthday day?
Google Calendar. Love the Google Calendar. Live by the Google Calendar. I think something that's really, I know I'll do for sure, because I do this for all the things I have to remember, is just go, my birthday's on the 6th, so the 6th of each month, put in, I'll actually type in the prayer in the Google Calendar, and then set it to hit monthly, and it'll pop up, and it'll be right there. I know other people that have done the retreat, they've kept it in their prayer book or their Bible that they read every day. They have a morning routine. I'm thinking of Mary Beth Finster right there doing that. Some people, maybe at the breakfast table or, you know, somewhere where they have a routine, where they're going to be at that place in the same way that they can get to it. And the Marians have printed some beautiful prayer cards with the Consoler Principle on it. So you can actually order those at shopmarian.org.
I think it's a great idea, too. I like to take things like this when there's a scripture passage or something I want to make sure I keep front and center of my mind. I will print it. I'll pick a nice font. I'll print it at 8x10, and I will frame it. And I actually have got a couple of picture frames that I'll rotate different passages and different things that I want to make sure I keep fresh in my mind. And I'll hang them on my wall. It becomes part of my wall art.
Love it.
People might think I'm kind of wacky sometimes with the things I put in there, but It means something to me.
You have to. You have to get those things front and center. I realize the older I get, the more I forget, the quicker I forget it. So mm-hmm. the important stuff, the main things have to be primary and in front
yes.
of me.
Yes. And the prayer card, you can also just tuck that in your mirror in your bathroom. That's always a good one.
Right.
And now with all this talk about Jesus and his thirst for us, let's take some time and listen to the title track from Danielle Rose's LP, I Thirst. You can find her music online at DanielleRose.com. That's DanielleRose.com.
For water, I thirst for belief.